Welcome to America Tonight. Hope you're celebrating somewhere and having a great time. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, as we look at 2012 and swing into 2013, a couple of great people that we introduced you to, including Brian Baker. Brian Baker was all about the numbers when we hooked up with him in New Hampshire, and that was what the election was about. A lot of feelings as to what was going to happen with Mitt Romney at that point. A lot of people pushing for Romney. This was back in January of 2012, that he was going to be the guy. He was going to get the nod. However, Newt Gingrich still had his fans, and there were still a few others that were pulling for a miracle, maybe another kind of a punt in a different direction. It didn't happen. Romney ultimately got the nomination. So we chat with Baker about number-related things when it comes to the election. Also mixed in between, Jim Grau. And the reason we're going to talk to Jim Grau is so many folks find themselves in situations, and that was part of what we set out to do on America Tonight this past year. So many people find themselves in situations where they don't know where to turn, whether it's something related to their homes, whether it's something related to being sued, whether it's something related to being messed over at work or some other kind of crazy situation. They find themselves in the middle of a hornet's nest. So we tried to give you some examples of what you could look for and where you could turn in a couple of segments we did. One was called It's Your Business, and Jim Grau kind of fit into that. He says, how do you find an attorney? There's so many jokes about attorneys, and if you don't have somebody in your family who can represent you and you don't have a friend who you trust who can represent you, how do you find someone blindly and feel like you can trust them and they'll do the job? So Jim had some great advice on that and talked about some things that had happened to some people. Also, we bounced back to New Hampshire and a great conversation with Congressman Patrick McHenry, who's now been in Congress for a full year. He was part of the Tea Party group. He's a Republican out of North Carolina that got elected on the Tea Party movement. You know, there's a big push for him there, and he was very excited to tackle all the hard things that he thought was happening in the country that was hurting small business, for example, what was going on with taxes. And he still has that enthusiasm, as I've had a conversation with Congressman McHenry just a couple of weeks ago, and he's very excited about this new year coming up after a very rough year for Congress overall. I mean, both chambers, the Senate and Congress, as far as likability. You want to talk about terrible likability numbers. In all polls, Congress really skewed low. People are tired of hearing that they just can't get it done. McHenry says this year is absolutely going to be the year, and he'll be in his sophomore session, if you will. So all three are coming up in this hour of America Tonight. As we take a look back into what we were thinking about in 2012, one of the things that became clear is you have to have a Twitter account or you have to follow someone on Twitter to know what's going on. Everywhere you turn, no matter what it is you look at, whether it's the old-fashioned, old-school newspaper, you're watching something on the tube, you're listening on the radio, whatever it is, you're going to hear about Twitter. So we have Twitter here on America Tonight. It's Kate Delaney at Real Radio Talk. Make sure you hit us up. There are some interesting things about it once you learn how to use it. You know who has an incredible following on Twitter? I guess it's not surprising that celebrities would be appealing to a lot of younger people. So if you look at the celebrity set, like Justin Bieber, this kid singer, has 14.29 million followers, new followers to this to him. That seems to be an amazing number. I would think that for anybody who wanted to advertise, he's a layup. Then you can even go down the list and you look at Adele, who's a singer. She has almost 8 million new followers. At the top of the list is Katy Perry, also a singer, 15.66 million new followers. So if you're bored with what celebrities are doing and what they're tweeting, you might have found time to read a book or two. And if you found some time to read a book, you were probably like me and you were buried into some kind of a political biography or something else that tripped your switch that had something to do with maybe history. 50 Shades of Grey is what The Nation wanted to read. These are best, this is the bestsellers list, right? So, 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker was number two, and 50 Shades Freed. This is the idea. You get one theme going, and if you get on a hot run, you just pump out a couple more books with a little bit of a different twist. The Hunger Games, which the movie also did well, that was four on the top 10 bestseller list. And we're talking about novels to read. Five was Catching Fire. Six was Mockingjay. Seven on the list, Third Wheel. I had to look this up. Then 50 Shades makes another appearance. They must be making a fortune on this. They did a box set, and that came in eighth for bestseller. Then you go back to the Hunger Games again, because that's hardcover. There's a difference between hardcover and the paperback. So the hardcover was nine on the list. And then you go to the Hunger Games again, and they have a movie tie-in. So that's what it's all about. It's the packaging. It's the packaging. And they were smart enough, I guess, to do that. This is when you know you're getting old. When you're like, what? That was the best book? Are you kidding me? So I didn't read any of those books because, like I said, I was buried in autobiographies. Like, we just lost Norman Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf, and I want to go back and read his book. I heard from somebody the other day that it was a great read, and he talks about a lot of things, including, you know, in his military career, Desert Storm and some of the strategy and how he applied those strategies. And I think that would be interesting. I've read Patton and others, and I also like military reads. But that didn't make anybody's list by any stretch. Other books that were also out there that were pretty well read were mostly, it seems like, chick lit kind of books. So maybe you haven't picked up any of those either. I was looking at one the other day that I saw that was on a list. It was called Dear Life. And this is Alice Munro who wrote this one. Then there's another one called The Age of Miracles. And then there's another book called Wild. And then there's another book called This Is How You Lose Her. And I was thinking, what if you put them all together? This Is How You Lose Her, Wild, The Age of Miracles, and yes, Dear Life. So maybe that would make a title somewhere, somehow. I don't know. I want to read Bruce Springsteen's biography. If I'm going to stray from politics or the military or strategy or any of that kind of stuff, it's probably going to be Bruce. And he didn't write this on his own, but it's supposedly pretty close, and it traces his working-class path in New Jersey to becoming a rock superstar that the governor of New Jersey just can't get enough of. Well, I hope you can't get enough of this show. Coming up, some of the best that we had to offer, I thought anyway, or most interesting, of 2012. So hang with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
At the Radisson, things are really happening, as I keep saying, at Radio Row. Excited to talk about something that I really care about, and I know a lot of the listeners do. I always say we're in all these nooks and crannies all over the place across the United States. Brian Baker's with us. He's with EndingSpending.com. I say this all the time. You need to get out a giant, at this point, chainsaw the length of New Jersey to cut down the nonsense, the ridiculous deficit that we have, and yet nobody's willing to even take a little axe and start to chip away at it. Brian, is my analogy kind of right on? I mean, why are we at $15 trillion? What is going on?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, the debt has like doubled under this president,
yeah.
And we really need to do something about it. And right now what the leaders in Washington are talking about is just cutting the increase in spending, not actually cutting the spending that already exists. So our group was formed last year to really get people focusing on all the programs that need to be cut or sent back to the states.
Yeah. So in doing that, what are the main things you're trying to accomplish? How do you attack those goals?
Sure. Well, the first thing we did last year, or 2 years ago rather, was get onto earmarks. So we did a very aggressive TV campaign, radio campaign, and so forth to get the members of the House and Senate to agree to ban earmarks. Now, that's a small piece of the budget, everybody knows, but it's actually it's the grease that makes the system go. So with those gone, now Boehner and others have been saying in the House and Senate they can't get the big spending bills through. It's more difficult. So that was the first thing. The project we did right now is we got each presidential candidate on the record on a set of spending issues, exactly on videotape, what they would cut and where they'll cut. And you can see those videos at endingspending.com.
Yeah. For your money, who's the best? Who's the best choice?
You know, I get that question a lot. And to be honest with you, it's really for the voters to decide. I'll tell you, I think one of the most interesting answers, and I'm not a libertarian person, I'm not a person who's going to back the libertarian candidate, but
right.
One of the most interesting answers that came out was former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson said he doesn't know when we'll ever have a balanced budget if he gets elected. He only promised to submit a balanced budget. And I think maybe Ron Paul has suggested that as well, but actually it was an interesting promise. He would just submit a balanced budget. It's actually very difficult to do, but it requires leadership.
Well, and everybody, here's what happens. You turn on C-SPAN, we start talking about, this is the same issue that we've been talking about for a very long, long time. On my airways, that's all people talk about. We talk about this all the time. They know, whether it's Tomas in Michigan or Mark in New York, everybody is frustrated. It doesn't even matter their economic background, whether they're doing okay or they're struggling. The one thing that I've seen with everybody is they're very united on this front, and I don't even care what they label themselves. So how is it that we let this continue to happen and it's gotten this far along where we just swim right. in the red? How do we get back to the black?
Well, I think the tide is turning. When the Obama administration put forward that almost $1 trillion stimulus, and they said we wouldn't have employment go over 8%, and then employment went over 10%. People saw that just more spending, bigger government doesn't lead to more jobs. So I think the tide is turning, and we're going to start to see the government get smaller, hopefully quicker, but at least a little bit smaller a day at a time.
All right, so if you were to, you could sit down with whatever congressman, whatever right. senator you wanted to, and they'll tell you, absolutely, Brian, I'm totally on board with that. I agree with you. I mean, who are the biggest defenders?
Well, listen, what we believe is very simple. Every member of Congress should support a hard cap on federal spending. And if you don't have a hard cap on federal spending, then the spending automatically gets sequestered or cut automatically. And very, very few members of Congress have actually signed on to that. It's a bipartisan thing, though. There are some Democrats who signed on to it. There's more Republicans. That's what we're asking every American to do, is say sign on to a hard cap on federal spending. And you don't have to amend the Constitution. Everybody tries to amend the Constitution, and that constantly fails because it requires a supermajority. But just capping federal spending doesn't require anything but a simple majority.
Right. So you start this movement, you're taking it to the people, and you're in New Hampshire. You're going all along the way. Are you at other stops? So you'll be at all the stops until...
Yeah, and I've been. I traveled out on the campaign trail with each of the candidates in the past 3 months, and that's where I got them on videotape. So we're going to see their promises. And, of course, we're also running TV ads here in New Hampshire, ran them in Iowa, running them in South Carolina, to make sure that the primary voters pick the candidate who will most, get in there and cut the spending. We really need a leader on that. Everything else flows from the fact that our government has gotten too big.
All right, so we're talking about, you going on the campaign trail Republican-wise. What about if it's Obama?
Well, we actually asked President Obama to do this interview,
mm-hmm.
and we invited Obama or one of his representatives. We haven't heard back from them on a date, but they have gotten back to us and said they'd be interested in talking about it.
Wow, that's interesting.
That was progress, but we haven't actually gotten the date yet. And listen, if President Obama wants to commit to a hard cap on federal spending, then we'd talk about him too. But right now, we don't consider them to be very serious about spending. Their budgets are so out of whack, it's mind-boggling.
But you know what they'll say? Well, with the hard cap, the problem is, Brian, we've got a problem. So if we just take, we've got to solve this problem of like we've got to keep going with the payroll tax cuts. We got to keep that up for another 2 months,
right.
And then our backs are against the corner again, against the wall, and we can't do it just now. So we need to raise the debt ceiling.
Right.
So there's a lot of soap operas you hear as reasons why it can't happen.
We get this all the time. We need more stimulus.
Yeah.
But I would say, how do you like the stimulus that's happened so far? I don't actually think it's helped. I think it hurt. All the economic studies out there show that when the size of the debt grows too big, the economy shrinks. That's just what happens. So if you want more unemployment, then add more debt. And I know that doesn't sound right to people, but that's what's happening in our country.
Right.
So that's where we're at. And we think that the ending spending way, what I like to say is the ending spending way, we ought to try that for once.
All right, endingspending.com.
You got it.
Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
so you can see some pretty interesting stuff and a lot of concern over the things that we talk about constantly here on America Tonight, and that's the deficit. That it has to be about cutting spending, and we have to just cut the crap. And that's why we're seeing that there are a lot of groups that are pretty adamant about that. And that's the other part of what's going on in New Hampshire. I mean, this is the first primary, but you have the political issues, you have the groups, you have the super PAC folks that are around. I mean, it is a thriving Republican rich territory right now, but you still have Democrats who are, one, trying to get a lay of the land to see what's happening with the campaigns, and also who are out there supporting President Obama, because it's not that he's not without supporters in New Hampshire. He certainly does have supporters, and they want to make sure there's some sort of presence. But what's interesting to me is that it's not an intense pressure or presence that I can see on the ground, and certainly not from all the people that I've talked to. Now, somebody who does have, and I've already mentioned this, a big presence is Ron Paul. He's had a couple of things happen, though, that people are talking about, including his latest row with another mainstream reporter, a CNN reporter. He cut off an interview with Dana Bash from CNN when she talked about his ability to connect with the voters. And the question came after a woman became angry at Paul when he left a meet and greet at a diner. The woman thought he hadn't spent enough time with the voters, and this was all reported in the New York Times, because, of course, everybody's all over the Paul campaign. But his campaign issued a statement blaming the incident on the media. And he, you know, what basically they said is, this morning, Ron Paul attempted to hold an event at Joe's Diner in Manchester to speak with patrons and supporters in the last push before the New Hampshire primary. Unfortunately, Dr. Paul and his family were forced to leave after over 120 members of the press created a mob-like atmosphere that was deemed to be unsafe for the candidate. Joe's customers and reporters themselves as well. So it was a huge contingency of people, and of course some of them were his followers. And there was a large number, apparently, of foreign journalists who recently have jumped on the bandwagon to see what's going on with Ron Paul. And because there was some shoving going on, and it's been reported that a reporter actually shoved Paul's wife, which is ridiculous, and told her to get out of the way, I think that this caused some of the concern over the safety of the people in the diner and, of course, for the Paul family themselves. Isn't it interesting? Because you remember back in December, Ron Paul walked out of an interview with CNN political analyst Gloria Borger when she asked about his involvement with newsletters that were written under his name in the 1990s. So Ron Paul's saying, you know, I'm not going to have any of this, and actually I don't blame him, especially for the diner incident. It makes sense to me because it was too dicey for the people that were there, and probably a smart move on his part. But there's no question you see bumper stickers everywhere, and there is a definite living, breathing, you know, heartbeat to the Paul campaign. He may come in second. What a showing that would be, or even third, would be huge for Dr. Paul. Stay with us. More coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great tasting, long lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready to eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Tonight, so good to be back on U.S. soil. By the way, check out our photos from Ireland. I actually had to kiss the Blarney Stone turned upside down. I didn't know you had to climb all the way up the castle and do that, and they had to hold on to you. It was a crazy thing, but if you look on the website, americatonight.net, you'll see it. I bet he never kissed the Blarney Stone. Fabulous attorney out of Dallas, Jim Growl, joins us now. I thought it'd be interesting to kick around. How do you even pick the right attorney for you with all the jokes out there? When it comes down to it, boy, you need representation. That's when people panic because they don't know where to turn. They're asking their cousins. They're asking their neighbors. It's crazy. Hey, Jim, first of all, have you ever kissed the Blarney Stone?
Hey, not yet, but that's a goal.
It's on your bucket list.
It's on my bucket list.
All right, I like that. So, Jim, you're in the game, but you see this, you know this, that people don't know where to turn when they really haven't used attorneys. You know, if you work in a company and there's somebody that you always go to and you just kind of grow with the person, then there's someone you know, you have counsel, you know who to go to, or your family you had somebody, you know who that is. But there are a lot of people, a sea of people who have no idea about how to select an attorney. And as one as somebody who's in the business, what would you say the first thing is that you should really do?
Well, if you know, as I was thinking about this and thinking about all the different options that people have, look at you, if you're inundated with, this is what you get to choose from. You've got advertisements on TV.
Mm.
You've got joint advertising groups where you got the 800 call-in numbers. You got public interest groups, nonprofit organizations, and they'll give you information. There's client attorney matching services. There's free legal aid agencies. There's dispute resolution programs. There's prepaid legal services plans. There's your local bar, your state bar. And so if I haven't confused you enough, Kate, my point is, you know, if you're starting to look, this is everything you've got. But what I would say is this, the tried and true measure, the best thing that still is going is word of mouth. Right? And even though you may not, you know, have a lawyer in the family or a cousin who's a lawyer, ask. Because it's been my personal experience. I've been doing this now for 26 years. You know, you can have a lot of different things out there for people that you can catch their attention. But it's word of mouth. And so the first thing to do is ask coworkers, ask friends, and chances are they may not have someone that they know that maybe handled the problem you have, but they'll have come in contact with a lawyer that they liked and a lawyer that they trusted. And then the next step is for that client, potential client, consumer, to go meet with that lawyer. And have the hope and confidence in that that lawyer will take the information, listen to you, and say, look, that's not what I do. But let me refer you to a lawyer that I trust, that I think can handle your particular problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the first step.
And good attorneys do that because you know you're going to get referral business. So you're not just trying to grab up everything that comes in the door. If it's not what you do, you push it on. Isn't that true?
Well, that is true. You know, all lawyer jokes aside, and, you know, the fact of the matter is there are so many excellent lawyers out there that will take the time to care and listen and then refer you to where it is. And we get a lot of referrals that way from lawyers that will listen to the problem and say, look, I don't do that, but he does or she does. And that'll happen, and the client and the consumer has to have the confidence that that'll work. And it does work, and it works very effectively. So that's the best, in my mind, that's the place to start, is ask your friends, ask your coworkers. Now, if that just doesn't render any help and that comes up blank, then, you know, every state has a state bar website, you know, and everybody can get on the internet and look at the state bar website, and they're very helpful. A lot of great information, board specializations that you can go to, those areas, and client referral services, and they're very helpful. Also, the local bar associations. I'm from Dallas, and I know Dallas is a particularly very good local bar association if you call and have questions. And so I think word of mouth and then getting on your state bar and local bar, I think that's those are the first areas that I would recommend that someone would do.
Yeah. And trying to find somebody that's good, are there red flags to look for in those conversations you might initially have where you say, oh, boy, I know that this guy came or this woman came heavily recommended, but this just isn't for me. Are there things that you could, if I'm sitting in the chair, we're having the conversation, are there things that could maybe send up those red flags?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, if you're the consumer, first of all, you know, you come to the point where you decided that, well, I have a need for a lawyer, and now I've asked around and I've got the name of a lawyer. Now it's time to make the call. So if you know, it's not just a one-way deal here. You know, obviously the lawyer may not know you're going to call, but you gather up your information, all of your data, all of the information, and you come in, you call the lawyer, you make an appointment, and you have to look at that lawyer, you know, face to face, and work through the process. But yeah, the red flags. I mean, you got to ask questions. You've got to find out what the fees are going to be. You know, it's a two-way street, Kate, in the sense that the client has to outline what his expectations are and what his problems are, and the lawyer has to respond accordingly in an appropriate way. And here's how I can meet your expectations, or here's where, honestly, where I think you're wrong. And this is what the law allows. So, yeah, you know, the client really does have to come in with his or her eyes wide open and really work through the good process of listening.
Yeah. And there's the thing is sometimes with, and you know this, Jim, sometimes you trip onto a big case that's not necessarily obvious. And then if that's the case, there are certain times when the lawyer will take it on a contingency basis, right?
That's exactly right. The clients need to be aware when they come in, and they should ask these questions. Because they may, certainly if they've never done it before and they're not familiar, they're not going to understand what the fee arrangements can be. And the fee arrangements can vary. You know, a lawyer can take it on an hourly basis. A lawyer can handle it on a fixed fee basis. They can ask for a retainer fee. Clients should expect that a lawyer says, well, you know, I'll take your case and I'll handle it, but how do I know you're going to pay me? How do I know you're good for it? So I want a retainer fee. Clients should understand and ask about that. Some states, there are statutes that dictate what the fee can be. And then, of course, we've all heard about the contingency fee that you mentioned. And that makes a lot of people, especially on personal injury cases and some particular commercial business cases, interested because they think, well, the lawyer's not going to get any money unless he wins. And so that's particularly good for me. And that can be. And that's a good way for a lot of cases to be handled for the particular client.
Right.
Now, clients should understand, though, that with respect to a contingency fee, there's more than just a percentage that you're going to pay the lawyer if he or she wins the case. There are also costs and expenses that go on top of that. Court costs and expenses that go on top of that as well. And some lawyers say, well, look, I'll handle your case for X percent up to this point, but if it goes beyond this point, then I'll want a higher percentage. And clients should always ask questions about that, too, to make sure that that's really easily and well spelled out so they know exactly what they're getting into.
And all cases are different. You know, this is a thing. There's not – it's kind of like Major League Baseball. It can be a marathon, not necessarily a sprint. I think there's some confusion with that where people assume, you know, like you were talking about prepaid legal services, that they think, bada bing, that's it. You file, you're in, you go to trial if you have to, if you can't settle, and then we're done. But there is no timeline, is there, for justice? It can turn slow, right, Jim?
It can turn real slow. And that's part of the, that's part of that initial process and meeting, I think, that's so important. You know, once a client, you know, gets all the information and makes the call and sits down with the lawyer, it's sort of like the old Frasier episode. You know, he got on every night and his moniker was, I'm listening. You know, the lawyer's got to listen. The client's got to listen. And then at that point, there has to be an honest evaluation. And I think that's part of the top of my checklist for best practices is an honest evaluation. Client has to understand that you come in and say, well, look, my case seems pretty simple, and it seems very straightforward to me. So don't you think we could get this wrapped up in a matter of months? Well, sometimes that can happen, and then everybody's happy, right?
Right.
But more often than not, that's not the case. And clients have to understand, and I've practiced in a number of jurisdictions, so I know it's really no different. It moves, as you say, real slow. Judges have their own schedule. There's a lot of cases on the docket. Lawyer schedules have to be, you know, involved. Witness schedules have to be involved. And pretty soon, the next thing you know, it's been a year, and you have your first trial setting. And then you go, and there's about 9 cases in front of you on the docket because they're older cases than yours. And so you don't get reached. And so frustration can build. So it's just all part of that process where everybody has to understand from the very beginning, you know, that this could take a while. And that has to factor into decisions, too, ultimately, and what people decide to do with their cases.
Yeah. Jim Grau, great advice. I hope that that helped a lot of you out there. I think it's interesting because there is so much information, as Jim was saying in the beginning, the things that you look at, the things that you see, and it's word of mouth. I mean, he hit the nail on the head. Jim, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, Kay, glad to be on. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch. GoldenStagSafaris.com.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are live from New Hampshire. We are broadcasting from Radio Row. It's a giant room with a lot of people in it, including Congressman Patrick McHenry from North Carolina. He's been John with a bunch of other talking heads, or I guess they're not really talking heads. Some do TV, too, and some do radio. Congressman, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks. It's mainly just my mouth that talks, not my full head.
You start doing that Sunday circuit. You start doing David Gregory and those guys. Have you
then
done any of that?
Actually gets big. Yeah. That's actually the big challenge, right? The
right.
Big fall.
Exactly. Then they worry about the makeup and all that other stuff. Okay, so you're out here and you're throwing your support. Whose way? Mitt Romney's?
Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm. Why Mitt?
Well, he's got the right vision for America. I mean, his economic plan for prosperity for America. contrasts so distinctly from that of President Obama's 3 years of failure. As Governor Romney says, he doesn't blame the economic downturn on this president, but he blames the fact that this president actually has done the wrong thing consistently and made things worse, not better.
Do you think he's gotten over the hump? Because he's still always, it's an albatross for him, the whole Romney care thing that every single debate is brought up, or of course in the headlines, people talk about it. And personally, I think he has come back and answered that and talked about the difference of being the governor of Massachusetts versus being the president of the United States and pushing through a health care agenda. Do you feel that he's addressed that pretty well?
He has. I think he has. And the way he's addressed it is that he's going to repeal Obamacare. If the states want to try out and experiment with health care reform, that's fine. I think that's what the founding fathers intended, is that our national government should do a few things and do a few things very well. And then let the states actually take care of the general welfare of the people in ways that are unique to them. And I think that is the message out of, what I take from history and actually what the president is saying. I mean, Mitt Romney is saying and going to take that message to Barack Obama and beat him.
Right, and you see that he's polling high, and obviously here we are on the verge of the primary. You feel pretty confident that this is certainly New Hampshire, is Mitt's?
Yeah, I think Mitt Romney, the real thing coming out of this whole process is that Mitt Romney didn't campaign in Iowa for 4 years, went in the last couple of weeks and actually won the state of Iowa in their caucuses. Now coming to New Hampshire, I think he'll have a strong win here, hopefully, and then carrying it down to South Carolina. 4 years ago, Mitt Romney got 15% of the vote in South Carolina and finished fourth. So if Mitt Romney goes to South Carolina and finishes second, then he's on the way to the nomination and getting the full a full number of delegates that he needs to be the Republican nominee.
How do you knock off an incumbent president, though, especially when lately we're seeing some economic bounce back? Certainly it's being perceived that way. I think the unemployment numbers are a little skewed to me because I think it's a little higher, because I believe that there are people that are underemployed, which you may even see in your own district, where people are working two and three jobs.
That's
college-educated
right.
People and blue-collar, wonderful people. I mean, whatever their economic background, doesn't matter. I really have seen that. I've seen that across the country when I've talked to people. But be that as it may, the headlines and everything that screams out there is, oh, we're seeing a turn. What do you think it's going to take to knock off Obama?
Look, I don't wish economic ill will on America just to beat Barack Obama. I don't. But when you have 25 million Americans that are either unemployed, underemployed, or gave up looking, I think we're still in a very tough situation.
Yeah.
The stimulus didn't work. The president's jobs record is abysmal. Even if we have some nice top-line good news, it's still not enough. And Mitt Romney's vision, Mitt Romney's experience creating jobs, and Mitt Romney's disciplined campaign actually will contrast so well with this president's failure when it comes to jobs. Mitt Romney actually has a jobs plan. This president's had a failure in 3 years of being president when it came to jobs.
When you look, because I'm assuming a lot of people that voted for you, certainly Tea Party liked you, like you're a strong
Absolutely.
Conservative, and I'm sure you embrace that. How did the Tea Party overall, do you feel like a lot of the people that are, I'll call them Tea Partiers, because I don't know if that's fair, because I don't really like labels, but let's just say that's one that you should embrace, certainly. Do you get any flack for that because of backing Romney and not backing Newt Gingrich or one of the other candidates?
Sure. I mean, there's pushback. And look, I mean, as conservatives, we're all over the map in this primary. But Newt hasn't shown a disciplined campaign. And unfortunately, I was just so disheartened when I found out that Newt had taken a lot of money from Freddie Mac. Fannie and Freddie are two institutions I was trying to cut off from the taxpayers so we wouldn't have the bail them out, to get rid of them. I mean, absolutely, that's what I've been working on since I got elected to Congress. And for him to be at the trough to me was so disheartening, because I've always respected Newt. I've always liked Newt, and he's had a been a great intellectual leader of the conservative movement. But the difference here, it's not a choice between this field and Ronald Reagan. No, we have the field and we have the choices that we have now. Mitt Romney's had the the best message when it comes to jobs. That's the key issue. He has a plan for jobs. That's the key issue. And he's run a great campaign. So let's get on board. Let's get this nominating process over so we can actually beat Barack Obama. And Mitt Romney's the only one who's shown in these debates, who's shown consistently over the last months of debate. I mean, we've had over
16, 17 now,
right.
Yeah.
It's an insane number of debates.
Yeah.
And he has shown himself to be so consistent, so good. And he's a much better candidate than he was 4 years ago. I think people are coming around to that.
Do you think Mitt can grab some of those independents? Because I think the independents, while they may traditionally, people would say, well, the majority of independents would swing Democratic. That's not true. And if you look at some of the polls lately, they're showing that if you quotes are an independent, you could really go to either side of the pendulum. Do you think Mitt has, what does Mitt need to do to grab the independents, to get them to think his way?
Well, part of it's style. I mean, look, he is not offensive to anyone. I mean, he's a very reasonable sounding guy. But independents want to see that you're going to do something that actually benefits America, and not just to be about partisan warfare. And I think with Mitt Romney's experience with jobs, job creation, his experience as governor, his experience talking to folks that are really on the other side of the aisle from me as a conservative, actually gives him a great opportunity to pick up independents and moderates in the general election.
Yeah. I want to bounce back to something that you said. You got me very excited about. I hate Fannie and Freddie on my show. And we have a thing every night where we talk about that, and people call up and find out, you know, that in fact, there was the march up to Congress, which, you know, to get more money, to get bonuses, and then the cry is, well, this is how we fix it, because we can't keep the best and the brightest. I think that's hogwash. What do you think?
I completely agree. And what I've tried to do in my service in Congress is to cut them off from taxpayer support, to cut them off from this, this abstract creation that has their tentacles deeply embedded in the lobbying process in Washington. And they're making, you got their executives who are basically government employees now. They're making millions. At a time when Barack Obama's out there hammering private sector pay from private institutions that the taxpayers are not supporting and beating him up for their pay package, he won't even take on government employees' pay packages. It is absolutely absurd, and the American people should be furious with this, because we're losing money hand over fist.
I agree.
And we're never going to get paid back for Fannie and Freddie's failures.
Right.
So we got to cut them off. We got to cut them off and get this thing freed up so that we can actually have housing prices rise again and actually have job creation out of this.
Yeah.
Not just simply propping up failure. That's what's so frustrating to me.
Right.
We should have cut off these companies and said, look, you failed, you failed.
Right.
Rather than trying to bail them out and prop them up.
Right. One last question. What's the best thing about being, I'll call you new to Congress, being the rookie? What's the coolest thing about being a congressman? Besides, obviously, I can see your passion, you're representing your people, and we're on board on the same issue. But what's the best thing about this gig?
Meeting people. I mean, you have to like people if you want to be in this position, and it's a great opportunity to meet a whole variety of people from across the country and all walks of life. The coolest thing for me in my district is to visit a small business or a nonprofit and actually see what they do. But the small rewards in this job, the small rewards are getting something done for an individual, somebody who needs a little help, and actually just make it happen.
Yeah.
It's really a rewarding feeling.
Well said. It was a pleasure meeting you, Congressman McHenry.
Thanks
so
much, babe. Take care.
Good luck. Thanks.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388. Or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.